A new week is here, and this time it's week 2. You're listening to the StockInvest.us podcast, Trading Tips with Jim. And in this week's episode, I will tell you that for the week ahead of us, a lot of quarter results are waiting and inflation numbers. But let's start with last week. Last week was not such a good week as the previous 9 weeks, because last week Nasdaq actually fell 3.24%. ending the week at 14,524. What I would call a natural reaction after being up 9 weeks prior to last week. Dow Jones had a little bit better week for Dow Jones, only down 0.59%, ending the week at 37,466 points. And when we look at the buy and the sell signals, we love to do that in this podcast because it gives an idea about the situation. They remain very high. For instance, is Nasdaq at 42% buy signal? Does that mean that we have more correction ahead of us? I will let you know what I think in just a few minutes. And we will do like this. I will tell you what I think will happen in the week ahead of us. Just give you a slight information about the main events. Tell you what I think will happen. Will Nasdaq go up or down, in my opinion? And of course, by the end of the podcast, we will get to the $1,000 challenge, where I'm trying to grow $1,000 as fast as I can. And I started September, I believe it was September, with the $1,000 challenge after having portfolios for the years before, running the same trading portfolios, as which and restarted everything to a $1,000 challenge that everyone, at least most of you, should be able to follow if you want. What I do recommend is, of course, make your own decisions. Doesn't mean, despite being having quite good returns so far, it doesn't mean that I always will be correct and you stand to lose money. So that's, and everything about it is on your personal risk, as the disclaimer says in the end of the podcast. We were starting the $1,000 challenge slowly, just slowly going in and out of some secure trades, because I was very worried about how the market would move. I thought it would be a hard market, and it wasn't. Maybe you remember we did a pickup in Electric Hawaiian. I have a certain strategy for this $1,000 challenge, going into heavy risk stocks that have been bombed, pick them up and go in. And Hawaiian Electric, after the fire at Hawaii, was bombed, so we got into Hawaiian Electric. And we've been in and out of a few, but just a few weeks before Christmas, I said that we are growing too slow. I will have to do a bit more aggressive. That was always the plan, as I saw the chance of markets getting better. And usually the markets end the year good, statistically proven overall, the history of stock trading. So just before Christmas, I went into Repair Therapeutics, and it was a nice upturn. As I said in last week's podcast, I would probably sell Repair Therapeutics, which I did. It was sold at 725, leaving 35.5% profit. At the end of the podcast, I will tell you which stock I will go into, because that's the thing. I will not buy a new stock before I tell you up advance what I will buy. The aim is to grow that $1,000 into several thousand dollars. So far, we are up 50%. Will we be able to do as I hope? We will just have to see. And as I said, shortly you will know what stock I will invest into this week. But let's get back to the things. What are happening in the week ahead of us? Well, today is nothing really big. Tomorrow we will have the first set of quarter results coming in, and it will be VD40 and Tilray. And as I said over and over again, if you sit in any stock that has quarter results, expect movements the days before, during the quarter results presentations, the minutes before and the minutes after, even hours after and even the days after. There is usually huge swings in most stocks. At Stock Invest, we made a tool where you can go and see how the stock usually perform before, during and after quarter results release. Some stocks can be traded because they have this very, very special pattern that tend to repeat, and you can take a bet on that. I know a lot of you are doing gearing and you are doing option trading, etc. And if a stock moves like 2% and you are an option, you will have huge swings, of course, and ability to make or lose a lot of money. Quarter results, indeed, one of the things, because when quarter result is released, it changes, the price changes, guarantee you that. Is very, very seldom that the stock price just continues like the days before. Very often you can see changes up ahead because there is always insiders knowing something, and you can see positions starting to change before quarter results are being released. And of course, when the quarter results are released, either before market open or after market open, you will then have to position yourself towards the bet. So you will have to be in before, and then you just have to wait for trading to open to see if you was right or wrong. More about quarter results you will find at our page, stockinvest.us, there you will find tons of nice quarter related information. You will find the fundamentals, so you can see how they did previous year, you can see expectations and quite many other things. Just a tip, you can trade on it, but for sure, do not make quarter results come as a surprise if you're sitting in one of the stocks. And Tuesday was VD40 and Tilray. Well, I remember at the site we also give a warning. I'm not sure if it's 6 or 10 days before quarter results, but if you go to your ticker, we will warn you if quarter results is coming up for the stock. Wednesday is the first day that we start to get some numbers, economic numbers, which are interesting. It will be the wholesales number. They are expecting to go slightly down by 0.2%. These are the first indications of how economy is moving. And I know it's very, very easy to be fumbled over all the different news. Some are saying that the economy is really bad. Some are saying that it's really good. Work numbers are released showing that it's a nice low rate of unemployment. Workforce is steady. And some say interest rates will drop already in March. Some say that they may not. And I try my very best to give you an idea what I think based on different things. And this week we get some of the inflation numbers, and wholesale numbers are one of the numbers that will give you an idea of how the economy works. Now, if you just look at work numbers, because the week ended with work numbers, they are so important for what Fed will do, if they will increase hold the interest rate steady or lower the interest rates. So work numbers are something everyone is following, coming out every Thursday, and then you have bigger numbers once a month. By the way, there will be bigger numbers. There was bigger numbers last month for December. All numbers, whatever number you hear, is very, very seldom the accurate numbers. Numbers can be interpreted in many, many ways. And for those looking behind work numbers, they know that the people outside the workforce in the United States never been bigger. And of course, if you are not registered as unemployed, you are not in the workforce at all, you are going on benefits or whatever it is, there will be less people fighting for the job that's open. That is why they look at job openings as an interesting number. And I saw a few facts about the actual job numbers. The amount of people working two, even three jobs in the United States to keep being able to pay for inflation and everything that has been over the last 3 years is just insane. How long can you do? And this week, as I said, we are at inflation numbers. Will this bad inflation that eats up your economy, will it continue? The bet, I think it was Morgan Stanley that has an indicator just a few weeks ago. The bet was 88% that inflation will be reduced, sorry, that interest rates will be reduced in the next big Fed meeting. Now it's down to 66, and the reason is because parts of the economy is showing some strength. Job numbers was one of them, and the government still keeps pushing. United States is printing money like crazy, and much of it is going into government, hiring more governmental employees, and pushing up the economy. Norway, which, because I'm Norwegian, I follow Norway a lot, and it always irritated me quite much when there is so much different news. I think that media should try their very best to be more accurate. They just invite whoever screams the most and what is the best clickbait headline they can generate, because one day it's, oh, good news for you, interest rates will go down. Next day it's bad news for you, interest rates may stay high. Inflation is not such a big issue as it was. Maybe you remember, if you're following this podcast or you just follow the news, you know that the huge inflation came. It was so obvious for anyone that follows. I told you long before it actually happened, because of the Ukraine war, the sanction, it had to happen. Then we got all the logistic issues with COVID, etc. So that inflation had to come, and all the money being pumped into the economy. Now we see different numbers go down across the line, which is good. But still, like last year, it was more than 24%, 25% inflation here in Lithuania, where I'm currently sitting. We have the headquarters of Stock Invest here in beautiful Vilnius. You will not get this money back. We are not getting into any sort of deflation yet, so that part is lost. Did your salary increase as much as the inflation? No, it did not. It doesn't anywhere. See some signs somewhere that pay per hour is increasing, but you have to understand this goes out of the profit of the company, and the only way the company can gain back is either being able to buy cheaper goods, mainly made in Asia as we know, or they'll have to put the extra price on you, the end consumer. So while we celebrate that wagely hours are going up, which is really nice, we do also have to understand that this money will have to come somewhere, because any and every company has a certain limit which they have to keep to be sustainable. You cannot run, many people don't understand business and business at all, but it's very simple. You cannot run the losses. You have to make money, you have to have profit to pay for everything that is to pay for, and to be able to grow. So there's no way a company can usually run in minus for a few years, but eventually all your capital is used. Your built-up capital is used and you go bankrupt. And bankrupts, by the way, are increasing at alarming pace. Norway, as a good example, I think it was 15 companies every single day in small little Norway is going bankrupt. That's insane increase, and it's expected to continue. They cannot compete with increased prices. You cannot push everything onto the consumer, and they are just falling slowly out of business. There is really a shakeout. It's the same thing in England, it's the same thing in the United States, it's even the same thing here in Lithuania. Wholesales numbers will give us an ID. Then we come to Thursday, we will have the job numbers, and then we will have consumer price index numbers. So how much did inflation or price on different goods increase for you as a private user? And we keep a few items outside this, like energy is outside this equation, and it's expected to increase by 0.2% month over month, and come in year over year by 3.2%, which is 1.2% above Fed's 2% target. Now, dwell a little bit more about that, because it's going to be such an important number over the year. So what we do know that inflation hurt the private wallet. When it hurts the private wallets, you have to save somewhere. Of course, if prices go up 3%, your salary doesn't go up 3%, so you have to cut somewhere, because it's just how it works. It's simple logic. So where will you cut? We know that that thing is bad for economy, because maybe you cut out a cinema ticket per month, so cinemas will start to suffer, or maybe you just cut out restaurants, or restaurants will start to suffer. Usually you cut out the thing that you can avoid. And funny fact here, right now there is a lot of subscription being cancelled for the major item providers, especially the newer one as we know. So I would keep an eye on companies like Netflix, Adobe, and all of these who live by subscriptions, because as economy is tightening, and it's tightening especially on the private consumer, and you should then look at companies who are very, very correlated with private consumption, because you have private and you have the business consumption, which is another story. How are these companies? Because it might be, just in my guess, that many of these will, for 2024, will not be the year of record quarter results. Just in my opinion, you have to cut somewhere, and even I, who make somewhat decent money, have a somewhat decent life. Even I'm looking where I can cut unnecessary cost. You are more focused. So if I'm focused, I know that you are focused. I know that many are focused. Subscriptions are one of the things that people easiest leave away. And running a business like StockInvest.us, which have a subscription side, we can see these sorts of effect. Now, stock market's been good, so we clearly see that subscriptions are on the way up, but we also released tons of nice products, and that makes the subscriber happy, keep their subscription, and you are my subscribing. In general, it's a complex situation, but it's one of the ways where you can figure out what will happen. Maybe you will put a short, maybe you will put a buy, if you think things are moving as I say. And by the way, while remembering this, thank you for everyone that's subscribing to our service. Very, very happy about that. And a lot of new products are coming up. And the one thing that we try to aim, what I always try to aim to do in this podcast, is of course to reduce your losses, increase your gains. If we can do that by all the things that we offer for free or under subscriptions, you are making money or saving money. So the subscription will be well worth it. So Thursday we will have the consumer price index numbers. It will be very, very interesting. It's the end of the week that really can change the market. On Friday we'll continue with some bigger earnings, because then we will have Delta Airlines, we will have JP Morgan, we will have Citigroup, BlackRock, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, etc. So Friday will be lots and lots, in addition to price producer index numbers, how much has the prices increased for the producers. So you'll have good numbers coming out on Thursday and Friday, and these will tell you a lot about what will happen. Now here are, that's the background for the week ahead of us. On top of this, we have the situation, as I said, where things are very tense in the Middle East. Currently, that is working the oil price a little bit. Saudi is increasing their oil production a little bit, but they believe oil price will stay remain high because of the tension in the Middle East. Oil price currently unchanged since last week, currently sitting at $73 and expected to do so. It was one of the items doing somewhat good during the week. I have some oil stocks and they didn't change much. Actually, some of them went up during the week. Gold fell by $49 last week to $2,035. But that was mainly because the dollar was strengthening. So me sitting here in Europe invested in gold, the price is more or less the same. The one thing that really changed last week was the 10-year treasury yield, which went up to 4.04, meaning people think inflation is not going away anywhere soon. And anyone and all of you that have been listening to this same podcast for years and years, or even enough of them, know that I say the same thing. I don't think inflation will pass away as fast as we think. I don't think the end user in Norway should believe wholehearted that interest rates will start to drop drastically in Norway this year, as many celebrate and claim it will. Be prepared, it will remain long. In my opinion, there are so many reasons for it. One of these is the insane money printing that has been happening over the last few years. I think behind everything, it might start to turn out to be a wish from Fed, from those managing the money supplies, to keep interest rates, sorry, the inflation above 2%. Actually, I think that they will sooner or later say that 3 will be the new norm, because inflation eats up debt. It's one of the ways to make your debt disappear. Many people who was living in Norway in the 80s, when inflation went on a rampage, they had bought a house, which was quite expensive back then, let's say like $18,000 the house would cost back in the 80s. Then inflation went on a rampage, the interest rates went up to 17%. Many people almost lost their houses, and many did. But just a few years later, after years of high inflation, the interest rate came down. And the houses, which one time costed 170,000, you had 170,000 mortgage if it was fully loaned. And the new house prices and the salaries and everything just was tripled up. So 170,000 was really absolutely nothing. It was so huge back in the early 80s, having that kind of mortgage. But when you got to the 90s, it was absolutely nothing. It was just pennies left. So inflation is a way to eat up debt. And maybe, just maybe, that is what Fed wants to do with the insane US debt. And the same thing in EU. Because the fact is that while the money printer is hot in the US, it's even more crazy in EU. That is why the EU countries will suffer hardly. Germany already suffered, here in Lithuania people are also suffering because of that insane inflation, and it will just continue for more time. There is more pain ahead. Interest rates will slightly go down, inflation will cool. There is no reason it will go on a rampage unless we get more wars. And before jumping to the signals and get us to the $1,000 challenge, last week I told you the best bet, and I've said this so many times, it's almost tiring. War industry is maybe where you want to be, because still, for many, many months to come, you will have warmongers in US administration, and even if there is a change of parties governing in the United States, there is a lot of more warmongers on the other side as well. It seems like that's the one thing. And all the arming up in the world, all the tension, Russia is building more weapons than ever, so why should they just suddenly change plans when they've seen how aggressive the West is? So there is still lots and lots to be done in the war sector, and it may not be ethical, and it may not sound fair, it may not even sound well, but you are here, you are listening to this podcast because you want to make money, you want to make a difference for yourself, maybe for your family and everything, and it's the cynical part of the money industry. And stock trading is a part of this. I believe there will be so much money still to be made in the war industry. And it's not the big ones like Lockhart. Boeing, by the way, is a very good stock tips. It's not only these stocks. We have all the minor ones who produce minor items to the war industry. Artillery, for instance, artillery grenades, all the parts delivered. Now and then you read small stories about these companies growing from just being 100 men to suddenly being 1,000 men, etc. If you're able to scoop down these companies which are delivering to them, remember, someone has to deliver the food, someone has to deliver the ammunition, someone has to deliver all the items around, clothing, for instance, in this arms race which currently is. If you're able to find some of these smaller, you can stand to make a fortune. And even for the bigger ones, they will keep paying dividends. Even if we get into a troubling year, especially last part of 2024 in the stock market, the war industry should be somewhat safe place to be. Because, as mentioned so many times before, a part of the game is to reduce your losses, not be sitting where the major downtrends are. If the downtrend comes for the market in general, there will be some stocks that will hold very good up. You just have to find one of them. Enough about war. Let's go to the stock invest signals. These are the buy and sell signals. How many stocks are giving buy signals? Right now, 42% of all stocks are giving buy signals. This is a very huge number, and usually it means that we should be close to more downturn. But if you look at the Nasdaq chart, you can see that we had a downturn last week. We're getting close to low RSI levels. We're hitting lots of support. Trend is upwards. There's a fair chance that these numbers, because when they're high, they can just continue higher. When they're low, they can just continue lower. But we do know that we are in the upper part of something. Going to Nasdaq is 42%, and Dow Jones is actually New York Stock Exchange is 52%. When it's been up to 55-57, we had a correction down. London 43, Tokyo 42, and Shenzhen China 17. So we see that the buy signals are very high, but I looked at the chart. I think there is room for a more upturn. I think the end of the week will be very special, but we are getting to places where things can start to change. And I think that it will be some of these major tickets. How are inflation moving? How is Middle East moving? All this tension, I think these will shape somewhat the market, because right now, given the nice trends, we stand to be in a situation where the end of January will be very good. February, I will not say so much about. 26 minutes in to the podcast. I believe it will be a fair chance of a green week for Nasdaq, and especially the last end of the week. Actually, my bet is for a green week in the markets. Last week was a natural correction after the long, long upturn. It may continue this week. It can be much worse than we think. Nobody really knows. The futures are red before opening, but I think there might, we will just have to see. But my bet is that it might be a green week. I think the support will hold up. I think the trend will hold up. And I, of course, found one stock which I think will do good if I'm correct. That is the $1,000 challenge. So how can we grow $1,000 as fast as we can? To do that, we have to take risks, and we've been playing a little bit, I have been playing with this, and I bought Repair Therapeutics 535, held it for some few weeks. I got sick before Christmas with flu, etc., so I was not in mood to do anything, but kept the stock. It went far over 7, and the last week I told you I would look into sell Repair Therapeutics and give you a new stock which I will buy. Repair Therapeutics was sold, I believe it was on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, for $7.25, ending up 35.51% since we bought it. Currently we have 1,000. I have to try to remember. I saw the number before the podcast started. 1,000, I think it was 580-ish or something to play with. By the way, I use Interactive Brokers. Fees are extremely low. It's also a part of trading. Do not sit and pay very high fees, because it will be very hard to follow if you pay extremely fees. Find a decent, solid broker when you do stock trading, because over time you do a lot of trades. And commission adds up in the end, and there is plenty of good suppliers with low or no commission at all. This week, it is a very cold day here in Vilnius. It's minus 21 degrees outside today. It's a cold wave going over Europe. So on this very cold day, I found one candidate which I will trade. I've been trading up and down several times before, so it's nothing new. I even have it in my private portfolio, but this week I will try NIO. I think NIO somewhere around 8, it might go down to 790-ish on opening or something. I think that might be a very good buy, and I think if I'm correct that the end of the week might be volatile, I think NIO might just do very good. I think I stand a chance to make 10, 15, 20% on NIO. At the same time, and this is a little bit important, there is a lot and a lot and a lot of support below, because I do not know for sure. This is not like a classical week where I can say 100% that the week will go up. It can really go both ways. It can be bad, because we had a bad week last week. There are some skepticism, buy signals is a little bit too high, etc. At the same time, we have good trends. We have Nasdaq getting low on the RSI, hitting support levels. So we have that fair chance of an upturn. When it's a week like this, I do not want to go into the most risky stock, because we could go into some pot-smoking stock. We could go into some crazy small biotech stock where we can gain insane a lot of money or lose some. If you check the winners every day, you will see some of these stocks do 200%. We can do some trades like that, but we stand to lose so much. I want to be in a stock with a potential good upside, good support below, and I found out NIO qualifies for this. 30 minutes. I'm out of words. I think we spoke enough about most things. It's a new week. You got things to do. I got things to do. As always, I hope that when you come to the end of the week, that your portfolio will be much more green than it was in the beginning of the week. And more so, I really hope that you will have a good week overall. Till next week, just have a good week. Bye.
Welcome to StockInvest.us Stock Analysis. We remind you that trading involves a high risk of losing money, and that you should speak with a financial advisor before buying or selling any securities. You should not base your investment decision upon StockInvest.us. By using the information, you agree and are held liable for your own investment decisions.